The opinions, views, and beliefs of the Unknown Packers podcast do not reflect or represent those of the Green Bay Packers organization, nor are we affiliated with the Green Bay Packers. We're just a couple of fans talking football. Go Pack Go!
This is Green Bay, Green Bay.
Thank you so much for following the Unknown Packers podcast.
Winning isn't everything, but it's the only thing. Green and yellow, green and yellow, green and yellow,
green and yellow, green and yellow. Unknown Packers podcast. Green and yellow, green and yellow,
green and yellow, green and yellow. And let me tell you this, Green Bay is a great town. This is Green Bay, Green Bay.
And welcome to the Unknown Packers podcast for a unique format for this episode. No commercial break. We're going to go straight through 30 minutes with the three of us, myself, Niebels, and not Ken Ingles. He is MIA this week, but we have a guest for this episode. We have Puff Daddy, P. Diddy. Now it's Pack Daddy himself, Ryan, host of the Packernet podcast, Packers fan, and NFL draft expert joining with us. And first and foremost, how are you doing, Ryan?
I'm good. I'm glad you invited me back. I don't usually get a second invite.
Oh, yeah. Why is that?
I don't know.
Well, I'm glad that we could break the trend a little bit and looking forward to doing some more down the road. I know you've been a big supporter of my sports interpreting endeavor, and so we've been corresponding back and forth and wanted to have you jump on and talk about the 3-1 Green Bay Packers. Packers beat the Steelers this past Sunday, 27-17. And so far, the Packers have started 3-1, making this the third consecutive season Green Bay has opened the season with at least three wins in its first four games. No Bakhtiari, no Big E, no Z, no MVS, no problem. What are your thoughts after the Packers moved to 3-1 after beating the Steelers, Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly didn't go the way I think we expected it to go. But I think if you would have asked anybody or even told somebody at the beginning of the year, we're going to go 3-1, I think everyone would have kind of just nodded and said, all right, that sounds kind of legit. You know, I think the hardest part about early in the season is it's not just the Packers. It's kind of everybody's kind of, it's just floating out there. You know, I don't know exactly what the Packers are yet. I don't know, you know, Aaron Rodgers, is he going to be able to repeat what he did last year? And if not, how far does he come down? What is Randall Cobb? What's with the injuries? What's going on with the defense? There's so many questions out there. And then even when you look at the competition, you know, the Saints, what are the, I have no idea what the Saints are. I don't know what the Bills are. I don't know what the Bengals are. So it's a tough time where, especially as podcasters, we want to have answers, but I feel like there's a lot more questions than answers.
That's a great way to put it. And after the Packers lost in embarrassing fashion to the New Orleans Saints, we, at least me, and I know Niebels as well, thought that the New Orleans Saints were the real deal. They couldn't be far from it right now. And it's just looking like a hiccup, an outlier so far for the Green Bay Packers. But Coach LaFleur has relatively been healthy in his tenure as head coach for the Green Bay Packers. Not so much this year. I just listed off some injuries. And before we dive into the big news of all-pro cornerback Jaire Alexander, what stood out to you in this game? One thing that I mentioned last week in our 2-1 episode is that the Steelers are bad and they're down. Mike Tomlin's great. Ben Roethlisberger was. You got TJ Watt. You got Najee Harris. But they're down. And so you couldn't let the Green Bay Packers sort of give them a little bit of confidence. And they jumped out to a 7-0 lead after Coach LaFleur deferred the coin toss. And I thought that once they went down 7-0, that they would abandon sort of their script and almost like what happened with the New Orleans Saints game. But the Packers sort of prevailed. It wasn't a sexy performance by Aaron Rodgers, but he did throw his 419th and 420th touchdown pass of his career, which the latter tied Hall of Famer Dan Marino for 6th on the NFL's all-time list. With all that said, what stood out to you? I know that you mentioned who's Cobb, what's the defense, but positively speaking, what stood out to you?
Yeah, well, you're definitely right about the Steelers. I mean, it's almost, as nice as it is to see a win, it's almost sad. You know, the Steelers have been a pretty solid franchise for a long time, and Big Ben and Tomlin and those guys, I mean, they've always been just steady, and to watch that was just, you kind of grimace watching especially Ben Roethlisberger try to play. But Yeah, no, I think the last 2 weeks in particular, I've been really happy with the Packers. Like you said, it's not they weren't necessarily pretty wins. And I think all of us would have loved to just see flawless, you know, just kind of like last year where things were so good. You're like, this is the best team in football. They definitely are going to win. But the biggest issue I had last year after we lost to Tampa Bay was I don't know what to say anymore. Because if you're that good and you keep losing in that fashion, what do you do? I mean, if you're Brian Gutekunst, what is your job, right? To go get more talent? The talent isn't the issue. And watching these last two games, it kind of clicked to me what the issue is, and the issue was grit. You got to have the ability that when adversity comes, when the situation is not always right, whether it's horrific referees, which the last 2 weeks are about the worst I've ever seen in my life, injuries, which are getting real bad this year, whatever the case may be, it's just, you know, momentum. These last couple of weeks, we've seen things where everybody sunk into their seats and just thought, we're going to lose this game. But somehow they dug deep. They found a way, whether it was a single player like Kiki coming up with a strip sack or just in the team in general, just refusing to give up, making plays when it counts. That's ultimately what it's going to. Now, I do think the level of play overall probably needs a little bit of a boost, and I think they're going to get there. I mentioned on my podcast a couple days ago, I think it was like week 10 before Amos started to kind of click and week 11 for Savage and Kenny Clark got in late. So there's plenty of time for like the guys to really get into really good play. But the one thing they need if they're ever going to get this Super Bowl is the ability to, when things aren't perfect and when you go up against good teams and tough environments, to persevere for four quarters. So I'm glad to see they got it. Now let's just see a little bit more health and a little bit more consistency with the positive play. And I think we've got a winning formula.
There's many reasons why I love having guests on. And one of them in particular is that different perspective. And that's something that I just didn't really think about, grit and momentum. When you talked about what does Gutekunst do, he brought the band back together again. And you had the off-season saga and that sort of carried over. It loomed over week one. Week two, when the Packers beat the Lions, I know Rodgers had mentioned some comments about it gets the trolls off their backs. And then you have this impressive win against the San Francisco 49ers. It's sort of a galvanizing moment early in the season. It got everyone together, excited about football, to see them all cheering after Mason Crosby drilled that field goal through the uprights. And then to follow it up again, I mean, it wasn't a pretty game by any means, but Tomlin is great. I know that Tomlin's always going to scheme and try to get the best out of his players. The interaction that I really enjoyed, and it was a topic on the Pat McAfee show with Aaron Rodgers Tuesday, was when Aaron Rodgers tried to get the spike off or 12 men on the field, Tomlin rushed and called a timeout, and they sort of exchanged little smirks. I know people are going to run wild with the hypotheticals with that. For me, I just really appreciated the gamemanship. You've got Tomlin, who's been coaching forever. You've got Aaron Rodgers, one of the greatest of all times. That is something that I really enjoy about the NFL, is that sort of internal camaraderie, mutual respect. Did you feel the same way with that interaction?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think there's a ton of respect between those two guys. And, you know, I mean, you see that a lot. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is a very intellectual player. And I think he almost respects it a little bit when somebody catches him. You know, when somebody, you saw that with some of the players too, when, you know, he's trying to get people to jump and they don't jump and there's a little back and forth, like you thought you were going to get us or whatever. I think he really appreciates that element of the game. And, you know, I mean, he does deal with a lot of newer players that, you know, he's constantly trying to get them to understand things and trying to get them up to speed. And you get somebody that's been in the league about as long as he has, and some of the coaches and quarterbacks and things. I think he just appreciates I mean, look at how he talks, for example, about Brian Urlacher and just how the intellectual battles they had back and forth, where I call it a check and then he checks and then we go back and forth. And I think that's a fun little interplay that he really likes about high quality players, as much as it's fun to probably beat up on guys that don't know what they're doing. I think he really appreciates that.
I think it's a hidden gem, or it's something that maybe people will overlook, is the fact that Aaron Rodgers is having fun.
Yeah.
I think him smirking, him going back and forth with Mike Tomlin, the season didn't start off the way that the Packers had hoped, but when I list off all those injuries that they've sustained, and if I would have told you all those injuries and the Packers would be 3-1, I would be ecstatic. Aaron Rodgers even said he was ecstatic in his post-game press conference after Sunday's win, and then he also reiterated that in Aaron Rodgers Tuesday with Pat McAfee show. A happy, loose Aaron Rodgers is a dangerous Aaron Rodgers. It's a interesting sort of shift within the last several weeks, and maybe that's a shame on me on how I've viewed the offseason and it carrying over into week one. But like you said, the grit momentum, can they actually withstand this with a huge blow to the defense? I mentioned it, all-pro cornerback Jair Alexander, whose status is in doubt with a shoulder injury, Coach Matt LaFleur said on Monday, late in the third quarter in the victory over the Pittsburgh Steelers, Alexander blew up a 4th-and-4 pass, which was an impressive shoulder tackle, but it was to Steelers running back Najee Harris, who's just built like a brick. And looks like we don't really know what's going on. He said that, or LaFleur said that it's not a collarbone injury, but an AC separation, which occurs when the clavicle or collarbone separates from the shoulder blade. So I don't know more on that. We'll get more information on Wednesday as we're recording on Tuesday. So by the time you listen to this, everyone that's tuning in, you might already know the news about Jair Alexander. What's your take right now with the news of Jair Alexander? You mentioned grit. Can the Packers sort of withstand losing Jair Alexander possibly this Sunday?
Yeah, it's one of those kind of, I guess, good and bad things, mostly bad. But somebody had asked me, I just got done recording my podcast, but one of the questions that was posed to me is this the biggest loss the team could have outside of Aaron Rodgers? And my answer was resoundingly yes. You could probably put, you know, Bakhtiari or Zadarius in that conversation too, but I would say Jair, especially when you factor in the fall in talent level. But you know, the possible good, and it only works retroactively. Like, you know, do you want the 49ers game to be really, really tough? Do you want the Steelers to play really, really tough? Do you want all these injuries? Of course, the answer is going to be no. But when you look backwards at the 49ers and Steelers game and you realize what the team has sort of grown in terms of growing calluses and everything else and getting tougher and overcoming the adversity, it's really good for this team to lose those quality players and overcome that rather than just kind of coasting and sailing over everybody with this, you know, number one quarterback, number one wide receiver, top three running back, number one, you know what I mean? I mean, they just coasted through a lot of 2020. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to take a different approach this year. And I do think it could be obviously devastating, but I do think that it's an important thing that at some point a team has to go through, and what comes out on the other side is really the fruit of it all. And so I'm hoping that, first of all, it's not a very long, prolonged injury. I do hope that he's able to come back, whether it be a cast or however, a brace or whatever it is they said maybe he can play with. If it's for the season, then I'm just devastated regardless of what comes out the other side. But, you know, it's you have to be able to rise up. You have to be able to overcome this. Guys like Stokes, guys like King, if he's going to be back, they're going to have to rise to the occasion. And if they do, if they beat the Bengals, whether it be ugly win or pretty win or however they win, the fact of the matter is they once again, for the third time in a row, overcame that adversity, and it does make them stronger every single time that they're able to do that. That is the silver lining in all of this.
I love that view, and what Coach LaFleur said is regarding Jair Alexander is we're still getting all the opinions. He said that he would have more information on Wednesday. When asked if it was potentially a season-ending injury, LaFleur said, quote, "Everything is getting looked at right now," end quote. So we'll see. The Packers are 3-1 right now with Bakhtiari missing all 4 games, Za'Darius Smith the last 3 games, Jenkins the last 2 games, and then Jair Alexander missing the final 24 defensive snaps against Pittsburgh. This win, though, had some bright spots. When you talk about the injuries and how they need to overcome them, that whole next man up mentality, talk about next man up. Randall Cobb, who I personally thought was just here as an emotional cheerleader for Aaron Rodgers, he came through in the clutch on Sunday. And when you're looking at possibly, if you remove his sort of stat line in his play, this game's a lot closer. Obviously, that blocked punt that was nullified, that could have changed some things. This game could have been a lot closer than it was. So it wasn't pretty by any means, but like you said, ugly wins are wins, and I'm okay with that. With Randall Cobb catching 5 of 6 passes for 69 yards and 2 touchdowns, he converted 4 of those on 3rd downs, and the other one was a touchdown. I wasn't expecting that type of performance. I mean, when you knew that MVS was out, you figured that someone was going to have to step up. I just thought Davante Adams was going to have another 12-catch, 150-yard, 3-touchdown performance. And it was Randall Cobb who still showed that he had some juice. I know I mentioned this whole Aaron Rodgers Tuesday. I just watched it before we recorded. But even Aaron Rodgers talked about how Randall Cobb has been showing that in practice. So this could be an important piece to the puzzle. What are your views on Randall Cobb? That was a surprising performance, in my opinion.
Oh, I'm right with you. I was stunned by it, and of course I'm catching some flack for not being a massive Randall Cobb cheerleader. But I mean, the fact of the matter is, even and I've always loved Randall Cobb. I just didn't have high expectations. But you know, even before we let him go, he hadn't had a real dominant year in several years. I want to say like 2015 was the last time he was sort of a real dominant force for the team. And even, you know, statistically, some people had pointed out he hasn't had a 2-touchdown game, I don't think, since 2015. As far as PFF grades, this is the highest grade he's ever had in his entire career. So, I mean, it's pretty remarkable. The biggest question is, kind of like a lot of other things, can he sustain it and to what degree? I don't necessarily expect that good, but at the same time, as much as I want to minimize it, I can't find a reason why it would get so much worse. He only had 60-some-odd yards in this game and 2 touchdowns. But, you know, the biggest obstacles for him were, number one, Randall Cobb and Aaron Rodgers getting back in sync. Number two, mm-hmm. Matt LaFleur kind of learning how to use him. And number three, Randall kind of getting caught up to speed with this system. All three mm-hmm. of those boxes kind of got checked in this game. So what are we missing here? And then on top of that, I just looked real quick just out of curiosity before I started streaming with you. And as of right now, he's actually in the top 10. So we have 2 top 10 wide receivers via PFF grade. And again, there's everything in me is trying to pump the brakes and be like, all right, it's just one game. We've seen MVS blow up and then kind of disappear. We've seen Tonyan blow up and disappear. But again, we don't see Randall Cobb do this very often. Right. So, you know, you factor all that in, the emotional aspect of getting them back and how badly Rodgers really wants him to succeed, how bad Randall, you know, really obviously having a new appreciation of what he has here, wants to succeed. We saw the emotion in that game from Randall Cobb. As much as I want to intellectually say, all right, just pump the brakes, it was one game, we probably won't see that again, it's hard to really rationally say there's no reason to expect that again. I do think he's going to be a big factor moving forward. To what degree, I don't know. But I do think maybe this was a better pickup than I was and you were and many people were expecting.
Executive of the year, Aaron Rodgers wanting Randall Cobb. And it's impressive. It's exciting. I was geeking out seeing Randall Cobb. I mean, of course, being Packer fans, we're excited when we think about Randall Cobb and what he's meant to this organization. Yeah. For him to contribute like he has, I didn't expect that he was going to do that all year. And so for him to do that this past Sunday is remarkable. Chip on his shoulder. I'm sure there's people doubting, hey, will he continue to do that? I think that's a dangerous approach with Randall Cobb, chip on your shoulder, especially with Aaron Rodgers, him playing loose and him connecting with Randall Cobb. Now you have to sort of be responsible for where Randall Cobb is. And then also you have Davante Adams. And then before we pivot into our fill in the blank and our Cincinnati Bengals talk, I did want to talk about the other bright spot, which was the running back, A.J. Dillon. Yeah. When you looked at the backfield of Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, they both had, they had 30 backfield carries and they were split right down the middle. However, Dillon had 15 carries for 81 yards. This is something that I want to see moving forward, is just wear out, embarrass, demoralize the opponent. This, and I felt like maybe they let up a little bit. I'd like to see a little bit more ground and pound. Am I the only one that thinks that?
No, I several thoughts on that. First of all, one of the things I love about this team is the number of different weapons. We don't have a lot of guys like Devontae that produce every week, but we always have guys pop up. You know, when Aaron Jones doesn't have the greatest day, we saw last year where Jamal would just take over out of nowhere. You don't expect it, but, you know, Jamal would take over a game, or Lazard would have a big game, or MVS or Tonyan. Mm-hmm. There's always that one guy that just absolutely shines, and it's a special thing with this offense where there's so many unique weapons. Secondarily, with the ground and pound thing, with A.J. Dillon, I think he's kind of one of those guys, and I've mentioned it a couple times, you can kind of see when he gets 4 or 5 or 6 carries, you don't ever really like what you see from him. He's kind of a momentum guy. He gets moving. He gets some collisions with those pads. He starts hitting people. Just like the Tennessee game, the only game where you really saw him showcased, he had, 20-some-odd carries in that game. Mm-hmm. Once he gets going, he really starts to put a hurting on people. And especially when you give him all his opportunities in the fourth quarter, when these guys are starting to get wore down and they really don't want to get hit by him, I just think he absolutely loves that. And the biggest hiccup with that is going to be Aaron Rodgers. And I don't mean to say it as a negative because it's technically a positive, but there's always going to be the you can't take the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hand thing. And, we even saw it in this last game. A.J. Dillon was just ripping off 5, 6, 7 yard carries every single time. And they decided to get cute and throw a pass in there, which I was expecting it. At some point they're going to throw one. And technically it was a great call because Tonyan was wide open. Unfortunately, Aaron Rodgers threw it about 5 yards shallow and hit the defender in the helmet. But anyways, now you're trying to play catch up. You throw it again. It goes incomplete. And rather than just letting him just drive all the way down the field and get a touchdown, we had to, put the ball in Aaron Rodgers' hand. But I agree. I think they need to, and they do a good job of this generally, but this is the one area where they get hesitant when it's too much running and not enough Aaron Rodgers. Yep. Run with the hot hand. If Aaron Jones is the hot hand, don't let up. Just keep your foot on their neck. Just keep going and going and going until they stop it and then do something else. If A.J. Dillon's a guy, do it. Just keep smashing them with A.J. Dillon. And being able to rotate those guys means if you want to and if it's working, you can do it. But I do think they're very hesitant to do that because I don't really have a good reason. It's just it's Aaron Rodgers and you're not allowed to. It's against the rules. And I understand it, but I also don't.
No, I hear you. And that's actually something to keep an eye on is I think A.J. Dillon's only going to get better. Yeah. Obviously, you're going to put the rock in Aaron Jones's hands. Everything stems from the run when it comes to Matt LaFleur, and it'll be interesting to see what happens moving forward. It isn't just myself and Ryan, a.k.a. Pack Daddy. We also have Neebles here as well. He's just been creeping in the background, but he is here ready to step forward for the fill in the blank. What do you have for us?
I'm just playing a producer role tonight. I'm kind of keeping quiet and enjoying your conversation. But yeah, we got a little fill in the blank here. Pretty easy one. Nothing original, but I thought it was kind of pertinent. Right now, even though it is a 17-game season, we kind of just finished the first quarter of the season. Your first quarter, Packers MVP, is blank.
There's some obvious ones, but I'm going to go Devondre Campbell is my MVP.
Yeah, you always make it harder when you say it's an easy one, because then it's like, oh, shoot, is it an easy one? Yeah, Devondre is a good answer. I don't want to be too obvious. I have to lean Devontae, his ability to kind of just take over games and also just his consistency, even when he has a not super top game. It's still, every game you feel like if we didn't have Devontae, we probably didn't win this one. So I'll comfortably coast with Devontae.
No, I like the Davante Adams, and that comes to mind. There's also, you could be looking at the offensive line a little bit. If you're thinking about what they've gone through, I think for me with Devondre Campbell, arguably the biggest surprise of this year, but he's no slouch. He just is always hustling. We've always wanted that sideline-to-sideline linebacker, and he does it, and he's ranking up. I'm not a statistical junkie by any means, but I know that he's ranked up in the top five for performance graded out at middle linebacker, and he fits in this defense. And I think now when you're looking at potentially a serious injury with Jair Alexander, and we don't know what the future holds, I think Devondre Campbell becomes even more important. I just feel relaxed. In Sunday's game, when you saw Devondre Campbell just running around, making tackles, making plays, I sort of chuckled to myself because it was like, wow, we actually have a middle linebacker that can play, that not a liability. I know that Blake Martinez was a tackling machine, but he didn't have the sort of holistic approach that Devondre Campbell does. So biggest surprise, but I think if you remove Devondre Campbell from this defense, I don't know what this defense would be doing outside of Jair and Devondre Campbell. And Kenny Clark, obviously.
I agree. I actually, I picked Devondre Campbell as well. I mean, just because, it's his first year with the team. He's already got the communications helmet. He is basically the quarterback of the defense. And I like some of the other things he does off the field. He's one that even though he doesn't, he's not on special teams, he attends every special teams meeting just in case they need him to go in there. So his leadership on and off the field is just outstanding. And like I said, you hit the nail on the head, and that's why I'd pick him as my first quarter MVP as well.
When there was a little bit of an awkward pause afterwards, I was like, oh man, was that a knee-jerk reaction? You know, rose-trim glasses a little bit. But the more I sort of processed it a little bit, I mean, there's several. Like Ryan mentioned, this team has weapons and has a full smorgasbord, if you will, of every week. It's just someone else that's stepping up. I'm curious to see who is that player that steps up this Sunday, or if it's another repeat hero. And speaking of this game on Sunday, the Packers square off against the Cincinnati Bengals, who are surprisingly 3-1. This is the sixth visit for Green Bay to Cincinnati and the first since 2013. Also known as the Jonathan Franklin game. Sorry to mention that, but each of the last three games at the Bengals have been decided by 7 points or less, and the Packers are looking for their first victory in Cincinnati since 1998. There's the usual suspects. You have last year's number one overall pick, Joe Burrow, who was coming off 9 months removed from an ACL injury and looks legit as a leader, cool hand, and I think the big matchup now looks like Eric Stokes versus Ja'Marr Chase, if we're thinking that Jair Alexander is not going to play. I did read something that he might play, but with a brace. Jair Alexander, I don't know, but I'm just sort of assuming that Jair Alexander is not going to play on Sunday. And my matchup that I'm really curious about is Ja'Marr Chase and more than likely Eric Stokes lining up with them. It's crazy to think they call him Uno because of his number one jersey. And has gotten off to arguably the best start of any rookie for the Cincinnati Bengals in team history. Here's an interesting stat. At 21 years old, he stands as the youngest player in NFL history with at least 4 receiving touchdowns in his first 3 career games. That's one better than Pro Football Hall of Famer Randy Moss, who at 21 years old had 3 touchdowns in Minnesota's first 3 games in 1998. So that's the guy. For me, Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, that connection. What are your thoughts, Ryan, as the Packers head to Cincinnati?
Well, first of all, to backtrack real quick, I'm upset that I didn't think of Kenny Clark for MVP. But anyways.
I was like, where are you backtracking?
Okay. It was bugging me. I was trying to think through it. I'll steal your guy, though, if we're going to talk matchups for a second. Another weapon, and he is injured. He may not play, but how about Joe Mixon against Devondre Campbell? Joe Mixon right now is also playing really, really well. They've also got a really good wide receiver in Boyd, and Joe Burrow is playing some really quality football. They're 3-1, and a lot of people are concerned that it's kind of fluky, and it may be, but some of these guys are playing at a really high level. I had someone ask me, I think today or yesterday, if there was some concern maybe the Packers would get a little too full of themselves and would come into this not really fully prepared. And I said, I think there's almost no chance of that. The Bengals are not only 3-1, but they're really scary. And you couple that with, again, the injuries, like you said, with Jair, and I don't expect him to play either with a brace or not. But yeah, I mean, you got some corners that are iffy against Ja'Marr Chase and Boyd. You got Burrow playing at a high level. You got Mixon. And then on the defense, you know, we escaped Hendrickson when we played the Saints, but he's back now with the Bengals. We got to play him. He's one of the best pass rushers in football right now. He's got 20 pressures. I think that's like 5th in the NFL. Reader is playing really well. I mean, they got weaknesses like everybody else, offensive line, corner. But again, there's almost no doubt that the Packers are coming into this knowing that this is going to be another dogfight. And in a way, that's good because you don't want them coming in thinking we're the best team in football and this is, you know, the Lions or the Texans or some garbage team and they don't feel the need to come in with an edge. I think they're going to come into this knowing they're going to need, you know, another full 4 quarters of just an absolute knockdown, drag out fist fight to win this game.
Yeah, I agree. And a couple other names that I wanted to mention before we wrap up 3-1 on tap with Ryan from Packernet Podcast. CJ Uzomah, who had 95 yards and 2 touchdowns last Thursday in that 24-21 thriller against the Cincinnati Bengals. Also, I mean, the Bengals, with the Jaguars, they could easily have been up 21-0 at half, and usually that spells doom for any team down by 21 at halftime, but the Bengals rallied. You talk about that grit and that momentum the Bengals have. That there's one player that I wanted to mention that maybe is not on people's radar, but that's second-year linebacker Logan Wilson.
Yeah.
So when you're talking about Devondre Campbell at linebacker, I'm looking at this other linebacker. Interesting stat for him is he's got 3 interceptions so far, which is tied for second most in the NFL right now. Could be that guy that sort of plays spy and might surprise Rodgers with him being a second-year player. Rodgers hasn't played him. So he's a guy to keep an eye on that might make a big play here or there. I would hate to see a turnover. But again, I think if the Packers go in, win the turnover battle, play like they have been playing. And like you said, it hasn't been sexy. Maybe this is a game that they put it all together. Sure. They didn't have any preseason, so you're 4 weeks now, give or take. So parallel that with a preseason schedule, and I feel like maybe this is when things start to click. And crazy enough, if things start to click without their stud players, maybe this is the year that they sort of surprise, much like in 2010 with Super Bowl 45, where they had a slew of injuries and they were losing all these close games, but they had that sort of grit that got them through. I think that there's a silver lining here, like you had mentioned, that they're finding ways to win without their key players, but once they get their key players back, the sky's the limit. Anything that you want to say before we wrap up in terms of the Bengals and the Packers, Ryan?
No, I think we need to... The biggest thing that I want to push is basically what I just said, because I think it's not just the Packers that need to understand what kind of a game this is going to be, but Packer fans do. You know, what I've noticed about our fan base is we can be kind of doom and gloom sometimes. We expect a lot from our team. Let's just put it that way. And myself also. That's why I have a rule where I need to stay off Twitter unless I'm saying something positive or somewhat neutral, because I will go on there and just start saying things that I'm going to instantly regret. But... We just got to understand, I mean, this legitimately, I know it's the Bengals, and I know there's a rule that says the Bengals can never be a good football team. They have some serious weapons, and this is going to be a tough matchup. And I do expect the Packers to win. I expect them to dig deep. And like you said, you know, when we get these guys back, when we get on the other side of this, having beaten these teams in these tough conditions, and then we're talking about, you know, Bakhtiari and Jair and Zadarius and having that pass rush and not only just getting guys back, but the next level. You know, we didn't really talk much about Kingsley Keke. He had his first real big breakout game of his entire career. We saw that with Darnell Savage last year, his first kind of big breakout game, and he carried that throughout the year. So, I mean, if we can have something in Keke, as well as all these other guys kind of stepping up, you know, we haven't seen the best from Rodgers yet. We just saw from Cobb, you know, so again, the point is you get the grit. You win these tough games and tough situations. And again, I do think they'll beat the Bengals, even though I think it'll be close. Again, don't be mad if we win by 3 points. Be happy with that. Because at the end of the year, what we have is you take the strength that you get from these games, then you add all that talent on top of it at the end of the year. And hopefully that's going to be the combination that gets us a Super Bowl this year.
I love it. And another thing that I wanted to add too is, I was down on the Packers after the week one loss to the New Orleans Saints, and for them to bounce back again, I think is impressive. And for them to sort of silence the critics and keep on rolling, that San Francisco game, I think people are going to look back on that was the moment where the team sort of rallied together and we're back to having fun. And when this team's having fun and loose, it is a dangerous team. Before we bid adieu, I want to make sure everyone knows I'm guaranteeing that everyone that tunes in also tunes into your podcast, but please plug in all your information so that our audience can tune into your episodes as well.
Yeah, definitely. It's a Packernet podcast. If you haven't checked it out, I would encourage you to do so. I do it 7 days a week. So if you're just bored and you got done listening to all your other podcasts and you want to check it out, I would encourage you to do so. Pack_daddy on Twitter. If you feel for some reason to check me out there, otherwise, whatever. Whatever social media you go to, type in Packernet Podcast. There's probably a thing for you to check out.
That might be the best plug ever. just whatever. Just do whatever you want to do.
It's your life. You do what you want.
You know what? I think that gets people excited. That might be the best thing where people are like, he's onto something. We're going to check him out now. Well, hey, thank you so much for coming on. I look forward to this. This was great. I look forward to chatting with you again, having you on. This was a unique approach where we didn't have any sort of commercial break. And you are our first guest of the 2020-2021 season. and actually what, 2021 and 2022 season. Oh my gosh, pandemic brain. But before we wrap up, Niebels, you only got in to fill in the blank. What are your thoughts real quick of the Bengals-Packers game?
I think it's going to be a good game. I'm expecting a possible shootout. Like it was mentioned before, I mean, Burrow's got some weapons. I'm a little bit nervous about our secondary. Our pass rush really needs to get in and get home a few times, especially, you know, to kind of help out that secondary. I am anticipating a Packers win. I think it'll be a tough fought out battle, but in the end, the good guys will come out on top.
I love it. Any last words, Ryan, before we bid adieu?
I think I'm tapped out.
Awesome. Well, there you have it, Packer fans. Packers are 3-1 and looking forward to possibly another W as we reconvene next week again. I'm your co-host, Bryce Christensen.
And I'm Niebels.
And who are you?
Oh, I'm Pack Daddy.
And this is the Unknown Packers Podcast. Thank you so much for following the Unknown Packers Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Unknown Packers, as well as Facebook, Instagram, the Unknown Packers Podcast. You can check us out on our website, theunknownpackers.com, and a variety of different podcast platforms as well. You can also say, hey, Alexa, play the Unknown Packers Podcast. That's right. We're friends with Alexa. Go Pack, go.
This podcast was edited and produced by Sonic Transformation. Sonic Transformation, your sound refined.